Good afternoon, brethren, on this beautiful winter day. It's as nice as it is outside, it's hard to believe that it's winter, but as we all know, spring and the spring holidays are just around the corner. Brethren, I just wanted to remind you as I open that the second leadership meeting is scheduled for today at 5 p.m. It's entitled Leading from the Heart, and many of us have been working for several weeks, and hopefully with the inspiration of God, we have prepared some materials that can be helpful to each and every one of you. And some of you might say, but I'm not a leader. Well, you are. Each one of us are leaders. We're all a part of the body of Christ, and we all have a different part to play. So I encourage all of you to join us right after the potluck this evening at 5 o'clock for the Leading from the Heart Leadership Meeting. For those of you that like titles, I've entitled my sermonette this afternoon, Lessons from the Wilderness. I'll be moving very quickly as I plan to somehow blaze through the journey in the wilderness in the next 14 minutes. But let's first start in the New Testament. Let's start in 1 Corinthians 10, and let's see what Paul wrote to us as a very pointed message that we all need to remember in our daily journey. Chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. In verse 1 it reads, Brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. In verse 5, But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they have also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them, nor commit sexual immorality. Verse 9, Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain as some of them also complained and they were destroyed by the destroyer. In verse 11, Now all of these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Very important that we learn the spiritual lessons from Israel. Let's go back and hit the highlights of the story. Let's begin in Exodus 13. In Exodus 13, verse 17, this is right after the plagues, and this is at the beginning of the journey. And it says in verse 17, that it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although it was nearer. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see woe and return to Egypt. Quite an interesting verse here. God said that he purposefully led the people to the Red Sea, even though it was not the most direct path, he took them that way. What about you and I? Do we ever think about changing our mind as we are in our spiritual warfare daily? Just as Israel could not turn back, God intentionally led them to the Red Sea to make it impossible for them to turn back. We must be determined in our daily journal that we too cannot turn back. Let's move ahead in the story. Let's jump ahead to Exodus 14, verse 8. It says in verse 8, And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So notice their initial attitude. They're leaving, they're happy, they're excited. They know God has delivered them. We're finally free, let's go. Let's see how long that attitude lasted. Let's drop down just one verse to verse 10. It says there, And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were what? They were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? These people who are so excited living with boldness now very quickly have changed their mind, have changed their attitude, and are afraid and asking Moses why they all had to die out here. But notice, Moses had the appropriate attitude. He was not being deceived. Notice what he told the people. It says in verse 13, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today.'" What is my attitude? What is your attitude as we face our trials in our spiritual battle? Do we have the same attitude? You know, God, you know, why do you do this? I'm never going to make it. You know, I'm just going to die. Or do we have the attitude that we will stand still and that we too will see the salvation of God? I know all too well that standing still, waiting for the salvation of God, relying completely on God can be difficult. But it is far more effective than just complaining. Let's continue on in the story in verse 15. This is God speaking back to Moses. Again, another key point that we can learn from the journey in the wilderness. In verse 15, it said, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward.'" God wants us to do the same thing in our daily journey, in our warfare. Not worrying about the past, but simply marching forward, continuing to grow. Let's see the conclusion of this chapter. Let's drop down to the last couple of verses. In verse 30, it says, "So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore." In verse 31, "Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." So far in the story, they've left Egypt, they've been delivered at the Red Sea, and they've come across. So far, they've only been afraid once. So far, they've only said once that they're going to die in the wilderness. Let's see how their attitude continues. In verse 1 of the next chapter, it says, "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song.'" And it continues on, verse after verse, singing praise to God. And in the last verse of the song, in verse 18, it says, "The Lord shall reign forever and ever." Here is the people who are excited, who know that they've been released from bondage in Israel, who have seen all of the Egyptian Pharaoh and his army killed in the sea. They're excited. And you know what? I know in my life when I have been delivered from a difficult trial or situation, I am filled with that same excitement. I am thankful to God. I praise Him. But unfortunately, I know that I make some of the same mistakes that Israel made. Because let's read further in the story, because their excitement started to dwindle. Let's see what happened starting in verse 22. It says, "And they went," how many days? 10 days? 20 days? No, they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And what did they do? Verse 24, "And the people complained against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" So after just 3 days, after all these interventions, again, they feel they're going to die. Let's continue on in the story. Chapter 16 of Exodus and verse 2. In verse 2 it says, "Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained, and the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we would have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, for you brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.'" Sounds like a familiar story, doesn't it, brethren? You know, first you're going to kill us at the Red Sea by the army. Now you're going to kill us because we don't have any water. Now you're going to kill us because we don't have any food. Same old story. Brethren, we have such a loving and patient and understanding God. Because I know if it was me, if I had done miraculous plagues, if I've killed Pharaoh's army in the sea, gave them water when they complained, by now I would say, that's enough. Fortunately, that's not what God says. Let's see what God says in verse 4. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. So despite all of this complaining, God says, one, I'm going to give them what they're going to ask for, and at the same time, I'm going to make it an opportunity to see if they will obey me. The same thing happens to us in our daily journey, whether we realize it or not. Some of the difficult situations that we face are not just problems, not just things that happen, but are there for a very purpose, to test us, to see if we will walk in God's path. Again, another important thing to remember. In verse 8 it says, and Moses said, for the Lord hears your complaints for which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. Again, another important point that I know that I need to be reminded of. Because I know in my life it is so easy for me to say, oh, I've got so much to do. Oh, I'm so tired. I don't know how I'm going to get this done. I know it is so easy for me to say this. And for what purpose? Because so many times it is so easy to complain. And when we are complaining, who are we complaining to? We're basically complaining to God. Now, you know, hear me out. We do need to share our concerns in life with God with an open heart, as long as it's in an appropriate attitude. But we need to be very careful that we don't fall into the trap of complaining. Let's continue on in the story. In verse 11, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And so again, he's agreed that he's going to provide the manna by morning and the quail in the evening. And again, it follows on. We'll skip some of the details. Let's drop down to verse 19. And it says, and Moses said, let no one eat any of it until morning. So again, the instruction with the manna was, you know, go out, get what you need for today, and no more. Again, did they follow the instructions? In verse 20, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until the morning, and it bred worms and it stank. And Moses was angry with him. Didn't say God was angry, but Moses was angry. Again, it's amazing as I go through this story how much these things that happened in the wilderness can parallel your life or parallel my life. Because unfortunately, too many times in my life, I go out and I do things that I shouldn't do. And the end result is the same. Every time it stinks. Just like the manna stunk the next morning. It's just amazing. Hopefully one of these days I will learn. Let's look at the conclusion of this chapter. It says in verse 27, now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. Again, there was instructions on the sixth day to gather twice as much as they needed because they weren't to gather on the Sabbath. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and laws? Again, not saying it directly to Moses, but his people. Again, time after time after time, God delivered the people, answered their complaints, yet what happened with the people? They never changed their attitude. They never changed what they were supposed to do. When they were given an opportunity to prove their loyalty, they refused to do what God asked. Let's go to Exodus 17, verse 2. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water, sound familiar, that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt God?" Their attitude kept going further and further with this. "Well, you need water, we need food, we need water," that now they're at the point of tempting God. In verse 3, it said, "The people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, 'Why have you brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock and our thirst?'" They've got that line pretty well, don't they? Time after time we see it. Verse 4, "So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me.'" Let's jump ahead to Mount Sinai in Exodus 19, verse 1. It says in verse 1, "In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai." So basically what we've had now is 3 months of complaining, whining, and disobedience. And notice what happens here in verse 3. "And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, 'Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I've done to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.'" To me, that's pretty incredible, because after 3 months of complaining, disobedience, and tempting God, after all of that, what is God's message? "I love you. You are a special treasure to me if you will obey my voice." Brethren, despite our problems, despite our shortcomings, he says the very same things to us. "You are a special treasure. I love you. Please follow my ways." I know I've moved very quickly, highlighting several things. There are so many lessons from the wilderness. We've only made it to Mount Sinai. In the coming weeks before Passover, maybe you can continue on the journey of the wilderness and see what other lessons you may find. Again, some of the highlights of the lessons that we've covered this afternoon is: 1, don't be complainers. 2, always make sure you're moving forward. 3, God allows various trials and tests in our lives specifically to see how we will respond. And we always need to be reminded that God is loving and understanding. Brethren, we are in a spiritual wilderness. God provides miracles in our lives, just as he provided miracles for the Israelites. And as I mentioned before, he's continuing to allow situations in our lives to see how we will respond, how we will follow him. The question is, are we just going to think of this as a nice story and ignore the examples of the Israelites and make the same mistakes, or can we learn from their mistakes? Brethren, I say that each of us, as we are on our spiritual journey, are in different places. Some have just left Egypt, having just discovered the Word of God and are excited. Others have moved on and are standing before the Red Sea. Some have made it to the Mount Sinai. And others have made it out into the wilderness where they're wandering. Some have been there for 2 years, 10 years, 20 years. You be the judge. While others have moved on through the wilderness and have moved across the Jordan River into the promised land. Brethren, I encourage each one of you to learn from the Israelites. Let us all move forward through the wilderness with boldness, not making the same mistakes, so that each of us can cross over into the promised land.